Christ of the Bible. Lesson number 10, October the 28th, 2011. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void. We'll accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, say, even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. We have proven unto you, if you have been objectively looking at the scriptures we've given you in the last few classes, the unity of the God, triune Godhead, the single oneness of God in being as a unity of the divine being. At the same time, we have also begun to prove to you the plurality within the triune Godhead. The Godhead is triune by nature. We have pointed out to you this is not understood by many believers. Even today, they think of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit as three separate gods. Or they get caught up in things like watchtower societies, Unitarians, and groups like this, and get involved in cults by totally denying the truth of the Word of God as taught in Scripture. Now, the plurality of God demands, as we study, that there are more persons than one, and that they are neither more nor fewer than three. There is a triunity of persons, the trinity of persons, within the unity of the divine essence. We point out that there are those who make exception to it, because not literally and symbolically, but expressed in Scripture's essence, unity, trinity, and persons. But we can prove there is a plurality of persons in the one Godhead, and we have done that. In Exodus 33:14, corrected translation from the Hebrew would be, "My persons shall go with you, with thee." And verse 15 could be doctrinally translated, "Thy persons go not with me." He brought thee out by his persons, Deuteronomy 4:37. Septuagint uses a concept here to teach prosopon, the expression of the sacred Trinity. Sadeus agrees with that, that there is a plurality of persons. Becomes clear from the plural names and epithets of God. The great and incommunicable name Jehovah is always in the singular number. It is never used plurally. Jehovah or Yahweh is never used in the plural. It's always in the singular, and it emphasizes the unity of God. The unity of God. By contrast, we point out to you Elohim in the beginning. Elohim has within it latent, because it is plural. So within it, the Trinity is latent. We've taught you this many times over the years. Elohim is a compound word that sets up the concept. We left off in the last class looking at the attributes of deity as they're assigned to Christ. We saw that Christ is eternal. He was before John 1:15. He was before Abraham in John 8:58. Before the world began in John 17:5-24. He's the firstborn of every creature, Colossians 1:15. Being existence in the beginning, which was without beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead, John 1:1. 1 John 1:1, the dispensation of triune Godhead, we also translate as Alpha, or call Alpha, I should say. refer to it, are also pre-creation eternity, time of the council, the decree of God. We saw from Micah 5, 2, from the days of eternity. So he continues into the future forever in Hebrews 1:11, Isaiah 9, 6, Revelation 1:11. We saw that the Father communication of life to him is an eternal process in John 5, 26, and John 1, 4. Now Christ is also omnipresent. Christ is also omnipresent and omniscient. He was in heaven while on earth, John 3:13, which we looked at in the last class. He is in heaven while on earth, John 3:13. Let's look at it one more time. We'll read it from the NASB. Sorry, hold on just a second. Just had a change in weather and I'm suffering from it. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And yet he is on earth while he is in heaven. Look at Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The personal and empowering presence of the one vividly portrayed in this gospel, the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has promised to his followers and his power for the commission to be performed and fulfilled of Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you. And lo, I, the person of our Lord and Savior, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ fills all. Ephesians 1, 2 and 3. Grace be you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Omniscience. He knows all things, John 16:30. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you come from God. John 21:17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He understands what is in the heart of man. He knew it then, John 2, 24 and 25. But Jesus on his own part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. Because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. He saw Nathanael under a fig tree in a place where he was not, John 1, 49. Nathanael asked him, Rabbi, you are the son of, all right, verse 48, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the son of God, you are the king of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I saw, said to you that I saw you under a fig tree, you do believe, you will see greater things than these. He knew the history of the Samaritan woman, John 4. 29. Come see a man who told me all things that I've done. This is not the Christ, is it? ASV translation. He read the thoughts of men. Luke 6:8. But he knew what they were thinking. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he got up and came forward. Now look at Luke 11:17. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divide against itself is laid waste. The house divide against itself cannot fall. I'm sorry, against itself falls. The house divide against itself falls. The time and matter of Christ's departure from this world. Look at Matthew 16:21. From this time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. John 12:33. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he would die. Think about it. Christ prophesied the exact detail, the concept of his death, I should say. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knew who would betray him. John 6:66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. He understands both the character that existed in the dispensation of Hebrews, the age of the incarnation or hypostatic union when he was upon the earth. We knew the certain termination of the age, Matthew 24:25. The whole dispensation, behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out, or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes come from the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. So we also saw not only the end of his dispensation, which the coming of which he prophesied in John chapter 14, when he told the disciples there would be a new dispensation, with the words, John 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Him that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Which brought to a close the dispensation of Hebrews for the intercalation period, the suspension at the end of the age of the incarnation. But when it's until the rapture of the church, we have the dispensation of the grace of God the Father, Ephesians 3. But following the rapture of the church, we'll have the restoration of the dispensation of Hebrews. The age of the tribulation of Israel will come in, and the end of it he describes here in Matthew chapter 24. He possessed intimate knowledge of God the Father. Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In fact, his knowledge of the Father is intimate in totality, and the only way to ever understand truly the doctrine of God the Father is through Christ. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1:18. No one has seen God any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. The word explain there means to exegete, to reveal. Christ reveals the Father. He explains the Father. Only through Christ and the Father be seen. In John 14, he told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Christ, we learn from Colossians 2:3, in him all are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. Look at Mark 13:32. But of that day and hour no one knows, even the angels in heaven or the Son, but the Father alone. Now, on the basis of this statement, there are those who claim he is not God because he is not omniscient. This statement seems to imply he is ignorant of certain things related to eschatological things in the future. But remember that he was functioning from his humanity at this point, not from his deity. He had surrendered the independent exercise of them. Look at Mark 11:13. Seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So he didn't understand that. In Mark 6:6. And he wondered or marveled at their unbelief. This was all due to the fact that the Father did not allow him to exercise his divine attributes in these instances. But he no doubt now, of course, knows the time of his second coming. As a Son, as the eternal Son, he's always known it. What are we trying to say here? Sometimes when you examine Scripture, and there are those who argue this, but it's clearly spoken. Sometimes when he spoke from his human nature only, which grew in grace and knowledge. Look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. In his human nature, he continued to grow. He continued to learn. But not through his divine nature. His divine nature had nothing to learn. Well, sometimes he spoke from his human nature. Sometimes he spoke from his divine nature. And sometime in his person, he spoke from both. So we find here the fascinating concepts of who he is. Christ is omnipotent, all-powerful. He said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Almighty. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing, for what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. We're told Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things with the word of his power. From Matthew 28:18, that all authority belongs to him. From Mark 5:11-15, we discover he has power over all demons and evil spirits. Luke 4:38-41, that he has the power to heal disease. Matthew 9:25, Luke 7:14-15, John 11:43-44, we discover that he has power over death. The natural elements are subject to him. Look at Matthew 8:26 and 27, so you understand what I'm saying. The others, I didn't look up the verses because they're pretty clear to you. Matthew 8:26 and 27. Some of this we'll come back to in greater detail further along in our study of the Christ of the Bible. He said then, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And he got up and rebuked the winds of the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Power over nature, John 2:11. John 2:11. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. This was the changing of the water into wine. Look at Matthew 21:19. Sitting alone, fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing except leaves on it. And he said to it, no longer shall there be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Normally the fruit and leaves of the fig tree appear at the same time. My grandmother used to have fig trees in her yard. I love fresh figs. The curse on the tree is illustrative of the rejection of Israel, a nation unfruitful, despite every advantage. Now, there are those who have, he has the power over all things. Let me add that, over all things, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to him, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. For there is of those that object that Christ performed his miracles only through the power of the Spirit. Matthew 12:28, and we'll look at that verse. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. A true and correct verse. We totally agree with that. However, we must put it in the context of what Scripture declares. Remember, this is the study is Christ of the Bible, not Christ of deductive reasoning. John 5:36. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me. He proclaimed that the miracle works that he did were testimonies of who and what he was, proofs of his deity. John 10:25. Jesus answered him, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. Verse 38. If I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know that understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Look at chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the books, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. Now, I want you to consider something. Listen carefully to what I'm fixing to give you, because I want no mistakes to be made about this. Jesus Christ, as we just said to you, pointed out that the miracle, we point out to you that the miracles were signs Christ said of himself. All right, Jesus Christ recorded 35 miracles that are listed in Scripture. One, the turning of water into wine, John 2:1-11. Two, healing of a nobleman's son at Cana, John 4:46-54. Three, healing a lame man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5:1-9. Four, first miraculous catch of fish, Luke 5:1-11. Five, delivering a synagogue demonic, Mark 1:23-28 and Luke 4:31-36. Six, healing Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew 8:14-15, Mark 1:29-31, Luke 4:38-39. By the way, so much for the church and the celibacy of Peter. Peter was married. The only thing we can consume is wife not mentioned there, that probably Peter's wife had passed on, but Peter was still looking out for his mother-in-law. We don't know when his wife died. Seven, cleansing a leper, Matthew 2. But we, by the way, we know that all the disciples were married, apostles were married, with the exception of Paul and Barnabas. Corinthians, when he said, don't we have the right to take wives? His brothers who had the gift of apostle, but not the office of apostle, the half-brothers of humanity of Christ were married, it says. Paul taught that in Corinthians. All right, seven, cleansing a leper, Matthew 8:2-4, Mark 1:40-45, Luke 5:12-16. Eight, healing a paralytic, Matthew 9:2-8, Mark 2:3-12, and Luke 5:18-26. Nine, healing a man with a shriveled hand, Matthew 12:9-13, Mark 3:1-5, and Luke 6:6-10. Ten, healing a centurion's servant, Matthew 8:5-13, Luke 7:1-10. 11, raising a widow's son, Luke 7:11-15. 12, healing a blind and mute demonic, Matthew 12:22, Luke 11:14. 13, stifling a storm, Matthew 8:18-23-27, Mark 4:35-41. That's Matthew 8:23-27. I started to say Matthew 8:12. I guess my mistake. Luke 8:22-25. 14, delivering the Gadarene demonics, Matthew 8:28-34, Mark 5:1-20, and Luke 8:26-39. 15, healing a woman with an issue of blood, Matthew 9:20-22, Mark 5:25-34, Luke 8:43-48. 16, raising Jairus' daughter, Matthew 9:18-19, 25-36, Mark 5:22-24, 35-43, Luke 8:41-42, 49-56. 17, healing two blind men, Matthew 9:27-31. 18, delivering a mute demon, Matthew 9:32-33. 19, feeding the 5,000, Matthew 14:14-21, Mark 6:34-44, Luke 9:12-17, John 6:5-13. 20, walking on water, Matthew 14:24-33, Mark 6:45-52, John 6:16-21. 21, delivering a Syrophoenician's daughter, Matthew 15:21-28, Mark 7:24-30. 22, healing a deaf mute in Decapolis, Mark 7:31-37. 23, feeding 4,000, Matthew 15:32-39, Mark 8:1-9. 24, healing a blind man at Bethesda, Mark 8:22-26. 25, delivering a demon-possessed boy, Matthew 17:14-18, Mark 9:14-29, Luke 9:38. Apology, we move the equipment around, which we have to do for space sake here. When we're not recording, the automatic direction reversal got pushed aside and the tape shut down. I was reading the miracles of Jesus. I do not know how many of them will get on the tape, because this means that the master tape ran usually further than copy tape do. The people listening online may be bored, but it won't hurt. I want to repeat the 35 miracles of Christ. Listen carefully to them. 1, turning the water into wine, John 2:1-11. 2, healing a nobleman's son at Cana, John 8:46-54. 3, healing a lame man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5:1-9. 4, the first miraculous catch of fish, Luke 5:1-11. 5, delivering a synagogue demonic, Mark 1:23-28, Luke 4:31-36. 6, healing Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew 8:14-15, Mark 1:29-31, Luke 4:38-39. Again, I remind you, this proves that the papist concepts are wrong of celibacy of priesthood, because Peter was married, and therefore he was not a virgin practicing celibacy. When his wife died, or if she was alive through much of his ministry, we have no way of knowing. We also know from Corinthians that most of the apostles were married, with the exception of Paul and Barnabas, if memory serves me correctly. Don't have that in my notes, just adding that. 7, cleansing a leper, Matthew 8:2-4, Mark 1:40-45, Luke 5:12-16. 8, healing a paralytic, Matthew 9:2-8, Mark 2:3-12, Luke 5:18-26. 9, healing a man with a shriveled hand, Matthew 12:9-13, Mark 3:1-5, Luke 6:6-10. 10, healing a centurion servant, Matthew 8:5-13, Luke 7:1-10. 11, raising a widow's son, Luke 7:11-15. 12, healing a blind and mute demonic, Matthew 12:22, Luke 11:14. 13, stilling a storm, Matthew 8:18-27, Mark 4:35-41, and Luke 8:22-25. 14, delivering the Gadarene demonics, Matthew 8:28-34, Mark 5:1-20, Luke 8:26-39. 15, healing a woman with an issue of blood, Matthew 9:20-22, Mark 5:25-34, and Luke 8:43-48. 16, raising Jairus' daughter, Matthew 9:18-19, verses 23-26, Mark 5:22-24, 35-43, Luke 8:41-42, and 49-56. 17, healing two blind men, Matthew 9:27-31. 18, delivering a mute demon, Matthew 9:32-33. 19, feeding of the 5,000, Matthew 14:14-21, Mark 6:34-44, Luke 9:12-17, John 6:5-13. 20, walking on the water, Matthew 12:24-33, Mark 6:45-52, John 6:16-21. 21, delivering a Syrophoenician daughter, Matthew 15:21-28, Mark 7:24-30. 22, healing a deaf mute in Decapolis, Mark 7:31-37. 23, feeding 4,000, Matthew 15:32-39, Mark 8:1-9. 24, healing a blind man at Bethesda, Mark 8:22-26. The healing of the blind man at Bethesda. 25, delivering a demon-possessed boy, Matthew 17, 14 to 18, Mark 9, 14 to 29, Luke 9, 38 to 42. Fighting the temple tax money in Matthew 17, 24 to 27. When I first read this, I'd simply noted there fighting the tax money without thinking. I said it was the Roman head tax. No, it was the temple tax here in Matthew 17, 24 to 27. 27, healing a man born blind, John 9, 1 to 7. 28, healing a crippled woman on the Sabbath, Luke 1, 3, 10 to 7. Or 13, 10 to 17, I'm sorry. 29, healing a man with dropsy, Luke 14, 16. 30, raising of Lazarus, John 11, 17 to 44. 31, cleansing 10 lepers in Luke 17, 11 to 19. 32, healing the blind Bartimaeus, Matthew 20, 29 to 34, Mark 10, 46 to 52, and Luke 18, 35 to 43. 33, cursing the fig tree, Matthew 21, 18 and 19, Mark 11, 12 to 14. 34, restoring Malchus's ear, Luke 22, 49-51, and John 18, 10. 35, the second miraculous catch of fish in John 21, 1-11. Now, these are the 35 recorded miracles of Christ, but in John chapter 20, we read the words in verse 30 and 31, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now John only records 35 specific ones, only 7 of the 35 specific miracles that Christ did. John did not record all of the miracles by any means. He chose the ones that were pertinent to his ministry and his relationship. The 7 miracles that Christ, that John tells, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, the turning of the miracle of water into wine, which teaches the joy of eternal life and application. The healing of the royal officer's son in Matthew 4, 46 to 54, which is a condition of eternal life, faith. For application, the healing of the invalid at Bethesda in John 5, 1-9 shows the power to live the life. The feeding of the 5,000, John 6, 1-14, food for life. The walking of on the sea, John 6, 15-21, guidance for life. Sight restored in John 9, 1-41, light for the life. And an application, the raising of Lazarus in John 11, 1-44, victory over death was the application. The catch of the fish in John 21, 1-14, full fellowship of the life. John calls Christ the Son of Man in John 1, 51. He calls him the Son of God. In John 1:34, he calls him Christ the Messiah in John 4:25. He calls him the teacher in John 13:13 and 14. The master is not used in John. Lord is used in John 20:28 and Savior in John 4:42. These are key titles related to the person of Christ that John is doing. All right, we see here then that while they would argue that Christ performed the miracles in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit, they were done to verify and clarify just who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And this is something we must never forget. Who is the Christ of the Bible? That's why we're studying the Christ of the Bible. So the name Jesus is used 24 times in the book of John. The term Jesus Christ once, Son of God once, the Lord 6 times, the Christ once. 252 usages of the names, which primarily is Jesus. John also calls him the Lord twice and thy King of Zion once. He refers to him as the Son of Man a total of 9 times and the Master of the House 12 times. Others record in John called him Lord 25 times, called him King of the Jews 6 times, Master 10 times, Jesus 5 times, Son of God 4 times, this man or fellow 3 times, the Christ, the Son of the Living God once, Christ 5 times, Jesus of Nazareth 4 times, Son of the Most High, I'm sorry, Son of Joseph twice, my Lord twice, Jesus Christ once, that the Christ 5 times, and the Son of Man twice. The 252 times I gave you using the names Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ, Son of God, the Lord, and the Christ are the narrative uses by John. The 2 times I gave you the Lord and the 1 time thy Lord, thy King of Zion, I'm sorry, was used those 3 times, referred to the use in quotation marks. The Son of Man 9 times, and this pastor of the house, I'm sorry, that's the Master of the House, my error, the Son, 12 times. He's not calling the Master of the House. He calls himself the Son of Man and the Son, a total of 21 times. Those are the 2 titles Christ referred to himself by in John. So we see the referrals there. Now, used in the narrative, used only in the narrative, in John and in no other Gospels, or the Logos, the Word, 4 times, God himself once, Light 5 times, the only begotten of the Father once, and the Son 3 times. The Lord used of himself, only begotten Son once, he is God's Son once, Son of God 5 times, Light 7 times, Messiah once, the true bread once, the bread of God once, the bread of life twice, the bread which came down from heaven once, he which is of God once, the living bread once, the light of the world twice, I am 7 times, a man that hath told you the truth once, the door of the sheep twice, the good shepherd 3 times, the resurrection life once, the way once, the truth once, the life once, the true vine once, the vine twice, thy Son twice, Jesus Christ once, and a king once. Others called him the Lamb of God in the book, Gospel of John twice, and only these are titles only found in the Gospel of John. The Messiah twice, the King of Israel twice, the Bridegroom once, the Prophet twice, Savior of the world once, that Prophet once, a Teacher from God once, a Good Man once, the very Christ once, the Prophet once, the Master once, the Malefactor once, the Man once, you're the Jews King twice, the Lord 3 times, and my God once. All of these point to Jesus Christ as God. And when we saw the miracles that he had down there, and we noticed that when he says there in John 21, 24, and 25, this is the disciple who is testifying these things and wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true, and these things are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain them. The books that were written. Christ of the Bible is beyond the concept of man's thinking. Man doesn't really realize and get the impact of what it's all about. We sit and we read, but we do not see. We give lip service to glorifying the Jesus Christ of the Bible, but we ignore the power of what is seen there. Now, Christ is immutable, Hebrews 13:8 and Hebrews 1:12. Look at Hebrews 13:8 for a minute. Christ is immutable. Reading from the NASV. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday and the days of his life on earth. Look at Hebrews 2:9. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the sufferings of death, crowned with the glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for every one. Jesus made possible man's future dominion over this earth by himself becoming incarnate, dying, and being exalted. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. As son, he was thus God. Though he was as the incarnate one, he learned obedience through the suffering as a man. Isaiah 55 and 6. God came and experienced the human experience through the hypostatic union as the God-man, one person with two natures, divine and human. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not only disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. The opening of the ear indicates obedience. Look over at Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offerings you have not desired, my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. My ears you have opened. Expression signifying obedience based either on the custom of piercing the earlobe as a sign of a voluntary perpetual doulos slave, Exodus 21:6, or the idea of hearing what God has to say, Isaiah 54 and 5. Instead of external ceremony only, David realized that God wants his heart. In effect, he is saying, here am I, to do what is prescribed as to be my duty in the law, but to do it from the heart. To do it out of absolute love for Christ. Today is our high priest in heaven, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who is tempted in all things as we are, without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ is our high priest. He was tempted in all things as humanity, like as we are. Not that Christ experienced every temptation man does, but rather he was tempted in all areas in which man is tempted, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. According to 1 John 2:16, and with particular temptations specifically suited to him. The testing was possible only because he took the likeness of sinful flesh, as taught in Romans 8:3. For had there not been an incarnation, Jesus could not have been tempted. James 1:13 says, God cannot be tempted. Yet our Lord was distinct from all other men, and he was without sin. He possessed no sin nature as we do. Because he endured and successfully passed his test, he can now offer us mercy and grace to help in time of need, for he knows what we are going through. His grace comes when we come in our time of need, and not until, to carry us through the trials of this world. When we try to do it on our own, his grace is not functioning in us. It's only when he comes. All right, forever means to secure and consummate our salvation. Hebrews 7:25. So we must interpret it from within the passages given. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And Hebrews 9:28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. So we see Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. The immutability not only deals with the person of Christ, it deals with the plans that he has and accomplished with the Father. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, as is written in the book, sacrifice and offerings, thy will is not but a body that's prepared for me. He came to do the will of the Father. And this is manifest in his immutability. He did not fail to do the will of the Father. He is faithful, therefore, to carry through his future plans. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There will be a rapture of the church. People don't understand the second coming of Jesus Christ, first at the rapture for his mystical body, and secondly, at his divine revelation when he conquers this earth and sets up his kingdom, because they don't understand the Christ that came at the first advent. We have so much milquetoast preaching. Instead of the teaching, what does the Word of God have to say on this subject? Of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is immutable in his plans, immutable in his promises, immutable in his purpose. His promises include the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake me, forsake you, as recorded there in Hebrews. Now, this does not preclude the possibility of a variation of manifestations on his part, nor a restriction of some of his instructions and purposes to particular ages and persons. Now, Christ has certain offices that relate to his deity. This is often missed out on. He has certain offices that relate to his deity. He is the creator, the upholder. He is the creator, and he is the upholder. Hebrews 1:10. And you, O Lord, in the beginning, in the foundation of the earth and the heavens, are the work of your hands. John 1:3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. And he is the upholder, Colossians 1:17. He is therefore, he is before all things, and as in him all things hold together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And it's, he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. A principle you must never forget. Neither accident nor mere natural law keeps the universe in existence. Everything in its proper place. It is kept there by the word of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. What a testimony we have when we see the offices of Christ. The offices of Christ. Now, we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is not the Father, and Jesus Christ is not the Son. I'm sorry, he is the Son. He is not the Spirit, what I wanted to say. Now, we call the Father the first person, not that he is so in the order of time or casualty, some call him Fons Deitatis, the fountain of deity. For rather, the deity is the fountain of the divine persons from which they arise together, and in which they subsist, and in which they have superiority and preeminence of one another. But it is necessary to speak of them in some order. It must be proper to place the Father first, since whence we call him the first person, then the Son, then the Spirit, in which order they are usually put in Scripture, though to show there is a perfect equality between them, this order is sometimes inverted. What we have is Fons Trinitatis, that the Father of Christ, as he is the person, so a divine person will not be doubted, nor is his deity called in question, yet may be proper say something and establish in the principles that the Father, this fine deitus in his relationship to the Son. The Son is distinct from the Father. The Son is the one called the only begotten of the Father. We must make these distinctions, but yet as divine at the same time, he has and holds unique office. And the office of deity must never be doubted. He is the creator. Look at Hebrews 1:10. We just read it, but well, a few minutes ago, we're going to read it again. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are the work of your hands. So he holds the title of creator, also John 1:3 and Colossians 1:6. He is the upholder, Colossians 1:17 and Hebrews 1:3. So we have given you the principle that neither accident nor mere law keeps the universe in existence, everything in its proper place, but the Word of God. But you see, now we move to something different from his offices. We move of deity. We move to the prerogatives of deity. He forgives sin, Matthew 9:2-6. Christ forgives sin, Matthew 9:2-6. He said, I thought the Father forgives sin. He does, but so does the Son. They do it in a unity, because all things are done in unity. We point out to you, unity is not a unit. There is a difference. Matthew 9:2. And they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing the faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. Now why do we have this testimony this way? They brought in the paralytic, and when he told him his sins were forgiven, some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus knew their hearts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, get up and you walk? So you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. You can check out for yourselves Luke 7:47-48. Mark 2:7. None of the disciples, even Peter, claimed to have this authority. Look at Matthew 16:19. So much for so-called papal authority. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples they should tell no one that he was the Christ. The keys, the authority to open the doors of Christendom was given to Peter, who used the authority for Jews on the day of Pentecost, his great sermon there, for Gentiles in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10. Acts 2 is Pentecost and the opening to the Jews. Shall have been bound, shall have been loosed, means heaven, not the apostles initiates all binding and loosing, whereas the apostles announce those things in John 20:22-23. Sins are in view here, things practiced. An example of the apostles binding practices on people is found in Acts 15:20. Look at Acts 15:20. But what we write to them, that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and fornication from what is strangled from blood. In other words, they were to communicate the word of God. That's what it means by this. They were given, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. He preached, presented the gospel first in our dispensation to Jews at Pentecost, the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. Unique ministry that he was called to do. You can look up for yourselves, read in Matthew 16:19, 18:18, John 20:23, and 1 John 1:9, we're to confess our sins and not forgive ourselves, Acts 8:20-22. Christ raised the dead, John 20:25-28, 6:39-40, 50:54, 11:25. The future raising of the dead will be different from the raising of the tree when they were on earth. In the future, all will be raised. They will be raised from decomposition as well as from death. They will be raised never more to die, and they will be raised by Christ's inherent power, rather than by the Spirit's power. They will be raised in the resurrection body. These were raised with the Spirit's power he was utilizing to himself. They were resuscitated. They were not resurrected. Finally, we'll execute all judgment, John 5:22. That's of believers, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10. Of the Antichrist as follows, Revelation 19:15, Nations, Acts 17:31, Matthew 25:31-32. Of Satan, Genesis 3:15, of the wicked dead, Acts 10:42, 2 Timothy 4:1, 1 Peter 4:5. We'll go back over some of this in the next class. Our time is up. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. I ask you to bless and sanctify this teaching in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, even so come, the Lord Jesus.